Psalms 135. Psalms 135. I'm going to start reading at verse 1 through 3, and then we'll see how the Lord leads us this evening. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this opportunity to preach. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless in a special way. Use me tonight or this afternoon. Help me to be a blessing. And Lord, help me to rightly divide your word. And Lord, that we'd leave here as this psalm is telling us, to praise you, to worship you, and thank you for all you have done. We ask in Jesus, in your precious name, amen. Here is the psalmist, probably David, but not 100% sure, probably was, that God gave him what's right. And in verse 1 through 3, he starts off in this psalm instructing the servants of the Lord. It says, praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, ye servants of the Lord. In verse 2, it says, that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the Lord our God. Here it is. He's talking about the servants. He's talking about the priest. The priests that were in the presence of the Lord, they would go into the tabernacle, and later they would go by the temple. And he's reminding those believers that would be in the presence of the Lord, sing praise to him. Sing those songs and give him praise. And you think about the songs that we sing, really, should be songs that bring glory to God. Songs that encourage us. Songs that convict us. Songs that make us think about heaven. And songs that think about our Redeemer. And as he starts on verse 1 through 3, I think it's interesting. He starts about the servants. He talks about those that are there, the priest. But you know, as all believers, we're all supposed to be servants of the Lord. We're all supposed to be servants. It's just not just the pastors. It's just not the missionaries or evangelists. The truth of the matter is, we're all supposed to be servants. Wyatt, you may not have thought about it, but you were serving the Lord today when you took up the offering. Little Arlo that was taking up the offering with it. You know, serving the Lord, taking up the offering. And the different things that we do, right? In class, could be cleaning, could be decorating, cooking, or the things that we do for God. So we all should be servants. But unfortunately, even though all of us should be servants, unfortunately not all of us are servants of God. Or the reality is, maybe I should rephrase, we are all servants, but not all of us are good servants. Some of us are bad servants for the Lord. God doesn't want us to be sitting on the sidelines. God wants us to be involved. God wants us to be involved in his work. I mean, you think about it, we have the greatest work in the world is what's being done through the local church. You think about all the stuff that's going in the world. The reality is it's nothing compared to what God wants to accomplish. Why is that? Because if someone dies without Christ, they'll spend eternity in hell. We have the greatest work in the world, working for God to try to tell people about Jesus. But unfortunately, there are those that are servants of the Lord, but they're bad servants of the Lord. Instead of looking for what they can do for God, the reality is sometimes it's like, God, what are you going to do with me? You know, how are you going to bless me? And they're not concerned about the work of God. I have to tell you, after this fellowship, it's always a blessing when I see it in their church. Our church is surely blessed. Whenever I left to take my mother-in-law home and my daughter that wasn't feeling well, keep her in prayer. You know, I went around and there was a couple of people. I said, "Hey, you know," and I think what I heard was, "We got you." I think that's usually what you say. Gotcha, right? And the reality is, I didn't have to worry about it. I didn't worry about it. I on the way home, it was. I don't think one time in my mind I was thinking, are they going to set up enough tables? I don't think there was one time in my mind that went through and say, did they get the plasticware, right? Can't call it silverware. Plasticware. It's a good fine china. Plastic. I didn't have to worry about, is Chris going to pick up the food and the things on the side? Because I knew you ordered it on the side. But I didn't have to worry about those things. I didn't worry about the drinks. I didn't worry about the food. Did we have enough food that's here? I just knew we had a lot of food, amen, that we're going to have plenty of food. I didn't worry about the tables. I didn't worry about the chairs being put up. Matter of fact, after we were done and we would have to clean up, it was such a blessing to see people working, right? Cleaning up the tables, putting the tables away, putting the chairs away, getting involved into the work of God. That is such a blessing. I have been in a church where it seems like it was pulling teeth to try to get just anyone to be able to do something like that. It was like a fellowship would happen, and next thing you know, turn around, everyone was gone. Now, there may be sometimes that happens, right? You may have to go to work, and there'll be someone to say, I'm sorry, preacher, can't stay, I have to go to work. I understand, right? But the reality is, you know, we are so blessed, right? Chris, then, getting the vacuum, because my daughter, she usually vacuums and she gets the young ones to help, to try to teach them to serve the Lord. Just seeing them stepping right in and vacuuming, right? People taking things downstairs that need to go down. I mean, the reality is this. Usually Mark is here cleaning, and he would love to be here, but he can't. But someone steps in. Folks, can I tell you, that's what we should be as a church. Yes, we get along. Yes, we work for the God. But that's what he's saying here, the servants of the Lord. We are all servants. Hopefully we're all good servants, amen? That we're trying to live for the Lord. And here it is, he's saying, hey, don't forget, ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for his pleasant. Can I tell you, we as believers that are trying to live for God, you think about it, we're trying to be close to the Lord. Don't ever forget about singing praises. Don't ever forget about praising him. Don't forget who it is that you're serving. Because when you stop remembering who it is you're serving, then you're going to be serving self or serving for reasons that could cause bitterness. You just keep on serving the Lord. Keep on singing those songs that will bring glory to God. Look, then after he says that, we see here in verse 4, for the Lord has chosen Jacob unto himself and Israel for his particular treasure. Now he turns to Israel. You think about Jacob. God gave promises to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, whose names turned to Israel. Then the children of Israel, the 12 tribes. And how God promised a land. Here it is, as he's turning to Israel and his children, the Jewish people, he's reminding, saying, hey, you're the chosen ones of God. God chose Israel. God blessed Israel, and God gave them an inheritance. That doesn't mean that God did not love the non-Jewish people. Because the reality is, I am not a Jew. I am a Gentile. And the chances are probably most of you, if not all of you, are Gentiles. We know God loves us. And I'm thankful for God to love the world. It wasn't just the Jewish people. God loved the world, all people. Here is the psalmist is reminding about the Jewish people. And I think about that and I relate it to us as believers, as Christians. How much God has loved us. The psalmist is reminding how God has blessed them, Israel, for his particular treasure. Think about how God has blessed you in your life. God has given them a promise and gave them a land. God has given us a promise, and we have a promised land we're going to. God promised to watch over them, and can I tell you, God watches over us. God promised to meet their needs, and he met those needs through that wilderness. And can I tell you, God will meet your needs in this wilderness of life that we live in. I mean, we are so blessed, and because we are so blessed, he reminds us that we should praise him. Spend time praising the Lord, thanking God. You think about all that God has done for you. Sometimes we get selfish, and sometimes we think within and say, woe is me. And we look at all the things that we think that we should have and don't have. And the reality is what you're being is selfish. You have no idea if you had those things, would it make you happy? I guarantee you it wouldn't. If it made you happy, then the reality is you wouldn't. Happiness does not come by things. If happiness came by material things, then millionaires and billionaires would be extremely happy. And they're not. It's not material things that brings happiness. Folks, I want you to understand, the way to be content is just be thankful for what you got. Stop worrying about what you don't. Just thankful for what you got. I'm sure if I thought within, I could probably think about things that, you know, that's rough. I lay down every night. This is truthful. I lay down every night on my bed, and my back hurts. I don't know why. I think it's my bed. You know, it's supposed to be a nice bed. I don't think it's a nice one. But anyway, I know it's my back. But I could complain. Sometimes I like to lay on my right side. And when I lay on my right side, Jeremy, it hurts more than anything. You know? So then I try to go on my back. I don't know about you people, but if you try to sleep on your back, I don't know how you do that. And I sit there and I think, oh, I can't do that. My back hurts. So then I roll on my left side. I don't like laying on my left side. But I lay on my left side and I'm thinking, oh, it hurts, but not as much. But I like to go back to my right side. What I can say is I could sit here and complain all day long about trying to go to bed and being in pain, waking up in pain with my back. If I just dwell on those things, I'll miss praising the Lord. Folks, what I'm saying is, you know, if that's all that I have that's bad, then that's not too bad. Amen? I mean, you think about God has blessed me. There's people over in Iran, think about it, they're worried about getting bombed. God has blessed me. There's people, I mean, think about it, I'm blessed. I mean, we ate a lot of food. That was a lot of food. I go home and I eat plenty of food. God has blessed me. I have a house to live in, shelter, right? God has blessed me. Yes, I can think about others who have way more than I do, but we need to be content. He's reminding the believers, praise the Lord. Stop worrying about what you don't have. Thank God for what you do. You have Him. Then he goes on and says in verse 5 through 7, he's reminding us where the praising should be. Look here in verse 5. For I know that the Lord is great. Now think about that for a moment. The Lord is great. I have had some things in my life that have been, you know, it's been okay. I have had some things that have been good. But when you use that word, great, I mean, that's just like, whoa. You know? I like apple pie. Always like apple pie. I like other different kind of pies. And I have had some pies that's been okay. And I have had some pies that's been good. And some that I've defined. Can I tell you? You think about God. God is great. There is no one better. And he says this. He says, for I know that the Lord is great and that our Lord is above all gods. Can I tell you, there is only one God of heaven. And there is many false gods, lowercase g. But there's only one true God. And can I tell you, he is great. He is wonderful. He is worthy to be praised. There is no one, you think about, that compared to our God. The psalmist is reminding the believers, those that are servants of the Lord, don't forget who you are praising. It's our God who is great. Do you imagine these other religions, these false religions that are serving their false gods, how their gods are just They're made up. The literally, think about it. They were made up. They're fake. There was something a man thought, hey, or a lady thought, hey, let's make this my God. Or the devil influenced them. You serve the God of heaven. Here it is. He's reminding. He says, whatsoever the Lord please, that did he in heaven and earth and the seas and the deep places. He calls the vapors to send from the ends of the earth and maketh lightnings for the rain and bringeth the wind out of his treasures. Here is he's talking about. He said, think about the Lord. Whatever God thought would be best for us, God created. I can only imagine what the Garden of Eden must have looked like. But I guarantee it must have been beautiful. I've seen some pictures. Sometimes on my computer, they'll bring up different pictures of different places. And I look at those places, and this one I've seen, I think it was in Canada. Had a picture of water, had a mountain that was in the background. It was just really pretty. Can I tell you, I can only imagine what that Garden of Eden must have looked like when God created it. I can only imagine what this earth would have looked like when God created it. You do know this earth has changed greatly since God created it. Because of sin and that flood that came through, there's things that are here today that wasn't in time of Adam and Eve. Canyons, right? Maybe mountains that weren't there. Can you imagine how wonderful it must have been in that time to walk? I love springtime, and I love summer. More snow we get, I think I'll love them more. But one thing I don't love is bugs. Those dumb insects. Especially at nighttime. You go out at nighttime or whatever, and when it gets warmer, and you have maybe a light on, and those bugs, and you're just slapping yourself, you know, because all those bugs that are there, you're putting bug spray. Can you imagine in that garden, those insects didn't bother them? You know, it was just, imagine how beautiful. Think about God created everything. God created things, if even what he was saying is in the heaven and the earth, the sea and the deep places. There's places that we would never see. And God created things. He talks about the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. Think about that. How God has created our system to allow it to rain on the earth, go down and goes into the soil, and you think about, and vapors will go back up, then actually would come back. I forget what it's called, but the system. That you think about, it's amazing what God thought about. Here it is, he says, making lightnings for the rain. I think Julianne, during summertime, don't you like to go outside and look at the...
Oh, I love them.
Yeah, the lightning, the thunder, you know. You think about it, it's amazing. Some of that, you just sit there and it's like, wow, look at that, what God did. Here it is, he talked about the wind out of his treasuries. Think about the snow. You think about the hail. I mean, you think about what God created. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I think by the time I get to the end of winter, I'm done with winter. But at the beginning of the winter, I think, oh, that's beautiful. When we were leaving our house the other day, because this snow was more of a wet snow, it was clinging, and it was clinging onto our porch. And I looked, and I think if I said to you, remember, I looked, and I said, wow, look how pretty that looks. The snow was on our porch, just clinging to it. And I was thinking, wow, it's just... But you think about those snowflakes, how precious they are. And they're all different. Amen? God did that. And here it is, he's reminding you, saying, you know, the things that we take for granted for, the things we're wishing, oh, I wish they was gone. God in his, you think about his infinite wisdom, created some wonderful things that sometimes we just forget about. We forget about, you know, when we look at the rainbow and think of how beautiful it is. Oh, we have a wicked world that wants to take a rainbow and make it a wicked thing. No, that rainbow was God's promise to us. And you think about that rain, when you get that rain, sometimes you're like, oh, why do we get rain? Well, if we didn't have rain, we would be thinking, whoa, what are we going to do? Donnie was texting me, he was talking about the drought that they have out there. And, you know, we don't have that problem. I try to remind Donnie, this is God's country. And then he reminds me of my government, and I think, yeah, he's right. It's not God's country. So, anyway, how did I get on that? He probably put something here somewhere, you know, something in the airway or something. So he reminds me that he likes his guns. Amen. So, New York is surely, I don't know what to say. I don't want to go down that path. I can be in there for a long time. Anyway, what do we see here? He's saying God. You know, God is good. God created everything. God is in control. God is amazing, His creation. And think about all that He's done for us. How can we not praise Him? He goes on and says in verse 8 and 9, "Who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast, who sent tokens and wonders in the midst of thee, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and upon all his servants." He reminds the children of Israel of God's deliverance. They were slaves. I mean, they were under bondage. They did not have a home. Promised Land is their home, but they didn't have it. They were abused. They were taken advantage of. And God delivered them. He's reminding them of their past and what God did and how God took care of them and how ultimately Pharaoh was destroyed. God brought those judgments upon that land, and God delivered them. How can you not praise God? Think about where you were before you got saved. It's only the goodness of God that God drew you to Him. Now, God draws all of us, but God loved you and me enough to deliver us from our sin. How can we not praise Him? How can you not be thankful that you're born again? If nothing else happens in your life since you got saved, and nothing before in your life, and the only thing that had ever been good in your life, which would not be true, but the only thing that's good in your life is salvation, that is sure morally more than you ever deserve. And God has done so much more. That's what the Lord was telling the disciples. They got all excited, and they came back and they said, "Even the spirits are in subject to us." And He says, "In this that the spirits are subject unto you, rejoice not." What do you tell them? "But that your name is written in heaven." Whatever I go through, think about it. My name is written in heaven. What a blessing! Amen. God has been good to me. The psalmist is reminding the believers, hey, don't forget. I mean, think about it. God took care of our enemy. We were blinded to sin. We were under the control that, you know, before you get saved, you're under the influence and the control of the devil. You just don't know it. You'll be like, "No, I'm not. I'm my own man." No, you're not. You're under the influence and the control of the devil. You're under bondage. And the reality is you cannot be set free until you come to Jesus. He defeated our enemy. Folks, can I tell you, the devil can't do anything to me unless God allows it. What do you think about it? God is so good to us. We should praise Him. That's what the psalmist is trying to remind the believers in this psalm. We could see here, he's saying, hey, how could you not praise Him? Look what the Bible says here. It's starting at verse, where are we at? 11. "Zion, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and the kingdoms of Canaan, they gave their land for inheritance unto Israel, his people. Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations." Here it is. He's reminding us, saying, hey, you remember when God delivered you out of Egypt, and now you're in the wilderness? And as you were in the wilderness going to the promised land, that there were some kings that you met, and I defeated them. I was taking you to the promised land. As you went through that wilderness, I took care of you. I provided the clothing that you needed. I took care of you. I fed you. Imagine every day other than the Sabbath, they would go out and God gave them mammoth. Or mamma. God gave them drinks. You know? I mean, God took care of them. And when I think about this, I think about our life, that we were in Egypt from that standpoint of under sin and bondage, and God has delivered us. And now what? We're on our journey of life. That's what your life is. It's a journey. And what? One day we're going to the promised land. But on that way to the promised land, we're going to have battles. And that's what he was talking of. Zion, king of the Amorites, or Og, king of Bashan. That was before they went into the promised land. And what was it? God defeated them. Miss Alma, on your journey of life before you get to the promised land, you're going to have some battles. And God said, reminding you that he'll take care of the enemies. I don't have to fight those enemies on my own. God's with me. God will take care of them. I don't know what you're going to have in life, this journey of life. But the psalmist is reminding them of their battles to what? Praise the Lord. Think back to the battles that you have had. There's been some battles in my life I wish I never had to go through. Let's just be truthful. Some battles, I just, sometimes in my mind, I sit there and think, I wish I'd never had this battle. But I can look back and say, you know what? Even though this battle would have probably broke most people, and I'm not being prideful, I'm not, could have destroyed a lot of people, I realized God helped me the whole time. Because if I would have relied on myself, I'd have been a mess. God is so good. I'm in my journey of life. And yes, in my journey of life, I have some battles. Can I tell you, God has been so good to me. God has encouraged me. God has strengthened me. God has said, hey, if this is your enemy, I'll remove the enemy for you because I'm taking you to the promised land. The psalmist, as he's telling these Jewish people, it's kind of like, how can you not praise him? You know, I know you've been through some battles, right? How can you not praise him? You know, I know you both have been through battles. How can you not praise him? Amen? We have to praise the Lord, not because we have to, because we want to. We just want to say thank you. You know, the psalmist is reminding us. One day he's leading us home. You know, as I get older, I'm getting closer to that side than I was on that side. Amen. The beginning of my life, I'm getting closer to the promised land. How can I not praise him? He goes on and says here, I'll read verse 13 again, 13, 14. Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever. Thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. For the Lord will judge his people. And look at this. He will repent himself concerning his servants. Now, I have to tell you, when I first read that, I had to do a double take. Amen? Because we're talking about praise, right? We're in the midst of this psalm. We're talking about praise. And now, in the midst of it, he says, he will repent himself concerning his servants. Well, let's go back in verse 13. We see here how God has given us promises and he'll keep them, right? Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. God's never going to change. God's word is forever settled in heaven. What that means is if God has given you a promise, you can rest assured it's never going to change. Never. One time, a while back, it was about 10 years ago, Debbie and I signed a contract to buy a house. A little bit more than, a little over 10 years ago. We signed a contract to buy a house. We had a contingency on it. The other people did not have a contingency. We went through, we did the inspection, everything worked out, and we said, yep, we were told that is our house. Legal binding document. And as we got closer to that time, as we were traveling to Hagerstown, I told the Prashals that they could have the house because they were going to buy the house from us. They were going to move into it. So I think they told their landlord, and the landlord was getting someone else for them. So they were packing and getting ready to move into our house that we were selling to them. As we were traveling down to Hagerstown, so it must have been the second week of September, I'm assuming, around that time, or October, one of those. We get a phone call from our realtor. while we were on a car going down that said, they're not leaving. The people who signed the agreement were not leaving the house. Isn't that, remember that? That was over 10 years ago. I'm thinking, oh my, amen. What am I going to do? I had a wife to take care of. I had my in-laws I had with me. Thinking, what am I going to do? Thy name, O Lord, endures forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. I just prayed. There's nothing else you can do. You're in a car. You're going to Hagerstown. There's nothing else you can change. You can't change if someone says they're not leaving. Even though it's a law-abiding a document, the court system says, well, you have to get a lawyer and kick them out. And I can only imagine what would happen if you're kicking someone out of the house that you just bought from. It just doesn't make sense. I did talk to a lawyer, and a lawyer said, the lawyer told me, if you want to pursue it, you won. They already signed it. You won. He said, you know, it'll just cost you a little bit, but you'll get them out. You'll win. There's no way that they can't. But I just prayed, and I was like, that's not what the Lord would want me to do. And next thing you know what? The God of heaven, who always keeps his word, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. That within, I think, a week, we are told about the place that we're living in today. Here it is, the psalmist is reminding about, hey, don't forget about our God. His promises are forever true. And then the next verse, for the Lord will judge his people and will repent himself concerning his servants. As I said, when I first read that, I did a double take on that. Well, why is it? Well, God will chasten us, not out of bad, but for good. If I'm going the wrong direction, I want God to turn me and go the other way. And the other part, he says he will repent himself concerning his servants. Here it is. You think, I'm going the wrong direction. And ultimately, God can say, well, there's chastening that's coming. And I get right, and I turn around, and God may hold off the chastening. Sometimes that word repent, sometimes we think about sorrow as a godly sorrow, but repent means it's a change, right? Change of direction, change of mind. And what is it? Sometimes where God could look down to Israel and thought he was going to do things to Israel, and what was it? They would repent and get right, and God, he changed his mind, right? That doesn't mean that he's unstable. It's not saying that. Why? Because his mercy is forever, endureth forever. I'm so thankful that I make mistakes and I do dumb things, that God will work on me, turn me, and get me to go in the right direction, forgives me. And I don't get all those things that I deserve. Amen? Yes, there's consequences for sin. But that's what he's speaking of. How can you not praise a God of heaven, right? How can you not praise a God of heaven that loves you and me so much that he'll correct us? And when we're doing what's right, God will say, all right, you know, you got the message. You know, I don't have to keep on spanking you because you got the message. Then he says this, verse 15 to 21. The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of man's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. They have eyes, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them. Bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. Ye that fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, which dwelleth at Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. Here it is, if you're minding again, he's saying, think about these foolish idols, these people that worship them. How foolish they are. You know, they created them, they made them, then they bow down to them. And here it is, he's saying, what we have is a God that can hear, a God who can see, a God who can feel. When God walked on this earth, our Lord Jesus Christ, and he saw Lazarus, you know, literally, it could seem. But Lazarus was dead and was in the grave. Think about it. God had compassion. God had mercy. God felt what those ladies were going through, losing their brother. And the Bible says, Jesus wept. Well, sometimes you may not think about that, but the reality is you think about how much God loves us and has compassion for us and cares for us. That's our God. We don't have a false God that can't hear, can't see, can't have no compassion. We don't have in these false religions. Well, it just seems like people don't care. It's happening, unfortunately, more and more in America, where they call these honor killings of a young Muslim girl that's not going to marry the Muslim guy that the father wants, or the Muslim girl is in their eyes rebelling, that they'll kill her. And they say it's a honor killing. Well, that's like Christian rock. There's no honor in that. Just like there's no Christ in Christian rock. I mean, that just doesn't make sense. When your religion would tell you it's okay to kill your own daughter as an honor, then there's something wrong with your religion. Here it is, he's reminding what we have in the Lord. And we should be so thankful that we give him praise, because he cares. He's there. He'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, which dwelleth at Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. How can you and how can I not praise him? Do you understand all that he's done for us? We don't deserve it. All that he has done, the psalmist is reminding us. How can we not praise him? When we get ready to leave here, may that be in your mind this week. I just want to spend more time praising him. When you maybe get some bad news, just say, Lord, I'll trust you. And I'm thankful that you'll help me through it. Or maybe you wake up and you have a sore back like I'll have. Lord, remind me. Say, Lord, just thank you. I just want to praise you. And knowing that where my future is going to be, up in heaven. Folks, can I tell you, God is so good. Take a minute, you know, get in that helicopter, fly up there. I'm just allegory. Fly up and look at your life in the past to where you are now. And you could see how God has been working in your heart, in your life. How can you not praise him? Father, thank you for this wonderful day, and I pray that you'd use this message to encourage us, help us to walk with you, be faithful. And Lord, thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for these people that are here today. And Lord, I just pray that it would be a reminder to us, spend time praising you. I pray that you give us safety to travel home. In Jesus, your precious name.